أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, that today the Jalsa Salana, Germany, is commencing. The members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat in Germany wish for me to personally attend the Jalsa. However, man is bound by human necessities, of which health is one aspect. For this reason, on the doctor's advice, the trip to Germany was cancelled at the last minute. And it was suggested to partake in the Jalsa in Germany from here through MTA, Muslim Television Ahmadiyya International, and from here to address the attendees of the Jalsa Salana Germany. Even this will transpire through the mere grace of Allah the Almighty. Pray that Allah the Almighty enables me to do so. This is also a favor of Allah the Almighty, that amongst the inventions of this modern age, He has provided us with such means of communication. Many people wish for an audience, and Allah the Almighty will create an opportunity for this at an alternative time. Nevertheless, through this means, at least 60 to 70% participation in the Jalsa Salana is at least fulfilled. Scenes from there will continuously be shown, inshallah, God willing, and even now I can see people seated there. May Allah the Almighty bless the Jalsa and all its arrangements in every regard, and may He enable people to derive full benefit from all the programs. This time, the Jalsa is being organized with a different set of arrangements as to what the Jamaat in Germany is used to. The Jalsa used to be held in ready-made halls and indoor facilities, and the organizers of the Jalsa did not have to make too many arrangements in terms of the Jalsa Gah, that is the main hall. Generally, people also enjoyed indoor arrangements. However, now due to the Jalsa being held in an open space, the organizers will face some difficulties, as will the attendees. Nevertheless, they should tolerate these difficulties, and the objective of both parties, the organizers and the attendees, should be to fulfill the purpose and the objective of the Jalsa. They should not be upset and complain about these difficulties. These arrangements will slowly get better. Similar difficulties were faced in Britain as well, and some even remain today. However, now the arrangements have improved greatly. Therefore, during these days, we should give precedence to happiness and joy over every difficulty and make this our priority and objective. Not a month has passed since the Jalsa was held in the United Kingdom. Even there, whereas people applauded the arrangements, some also highlighted shortcomings. As such, these shortcomings and weaknesses will remain. The organizers try to eliminate them and will continue to do so in the future as well, inshallah, God willing. If all participants cooperate, and if the workers try their utmost to improve the arrangements according to their abilities and their resources, they will be blessed. In relation to this, I will say to everyone on duty that your first and foremost obligation is to accommodate and serve the guests to the best of your ability and with a true spirit of service. always display courtesy, and the workers of every department should deal with a guest with a smile. Work while engaged in prayers. Work with the spirit of serving the guests invited by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and that whatever may happen, we will always keep the standard of our morals high and continue to serve. Similarly, the guests should also remain mindful of the objective of the Jalsa. And as I mentioned, they should tolerate every difficulty and try to achieve this objective over these 3 days. The objective I mentioned during Jalsa Salana UK is our very objective, and every Ahmadi should remain mindful of this very objective in each and every place the Jalsa is held. If we do this, then every participant will tolerate and bear all sorts of difficulties for the sake of God Almighty and acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to do this. Always remember that among the blessings bestowed upon us by Allah the Almighty, this is one of the greatest blessings which Allah the Almighty bestowed upon us through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that once a year we congregate to provide the means for our spiritual advancement as well as our moral advancement. Plan such programs that draw us closer to Allah the Almighty and increase us in righteousness or taqwa, and spend your days with the intention and determination to establish the greatest moral excellence and to establish the highest standard of fulfilling each other's rights. Increase love, affection and relations amongst one another. We must remove grievances. Strive to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and save yourselves from all forms of vain pursuits. These are the very things that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has expected of us. And these are the actions that please Allah the Almighty, for which he created us as humans and made us Ashraful Makhluqat, the best of the creation. Therefore, every Ahmadi who attends the Jalsa should always keep these things in mind. If one fails to strive to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, if they are not trying to progress in taqwa and righteousness, if they are not attempting to display the highest moral standards and not fulfilling the rights of others, then the purpose of attending the Jalsa is not fulfilled and it serves no benefit. The prayers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, will only be accepted for those who understand this purpose and this objective, for which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, initiated the Jalsa. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, I certainly do not wish to gather those who have taken my bayt, pledge of allegiance, for me outward display, like the present-day spiritual leaders. Rather, the ultimate purpose for which I have made this strategy is the reformation of God's creation. That is the fundamental reason and purpose for which I have organized this Jalsa and made this plan with the will, with the pleasure, and the command of Allah the Almighty. Thus, every Ahmadi should keep these things in mind. Every Ahmadi should generally keep this in mind, not just specifically in the days of Jalsa. However, you all who are gathered here for Jalsa should particularly bear in mind that if you do these things, then you will find that you have fulfilled the purpose for attending the Jalsa. And only then will you benefit from attending the Jalsa when you strive your utmost to achieve this purpose. If you do not develop a relationship with God the Almighty, if your moral and your spiritual conditions do not improve, then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, expressed great displeasure and discontentment towards such attendees. Here, under new arrangements, if you even gather in the thousands, or wherever the Jalsas are held, if people gather in the thousands, but do not achieve the purpose of the Jalsa, which is to develop righteousness, then attending the Jalsa serves no purpose whatsoever, nor does holding the Jalsa benefit anyone. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, let it be known to all sincere followers who have joined this humble one in bayt that the purpose of the bayt is that the love of the world should cool off, and the love of our noble Lord and the Holy Prophet should dominate the heart, creating such a separation from the world that our journey to the hereafter does not become disfavored. So what a great responsibility the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has placed upon us. and what great expectations the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has of us. That we make the love of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger dominate over all other loves. There should be no worldly love that can rival this love. Therefore, if this understanding settles in our hearts, only then will our worldly lives be settled, and so will our spiritual lives as well. Our hereafter will be adorned, and so will this world be adorned. Therefore, those who attend should always keep this in mind. And during these 3 days, they should keep reflecting on it and reminding it, repeating it again and again, and recalling it repeatedly. If you can do this, then understand that you have achieved the purpose of attending the Jalsa Salana. And if not, then we are not truly appreciating the blessings and bounties of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. It is a huge blessing of Allah the Almighty upon us that He granted us the opportunity to accept the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. If after accepting him and entering into his bayat, pledge of allegiance, we do not strive to achieve the purposes that aim for spiritual progress and the attainment of higher moral standards, then we would not be fulfilling the rights of our bayat, our pledge of allegiance. Therefore, every participant should bear these points in mind. Be careful to not let the blessings of this world become a means of distancing an Ahmadi Muslim from true piety, a cause to neglect our worship or fall below the highest moral standards. These businesses and material blessings that God Almighty has granted us after moving here have improved the conditions of many people. In fact, everyone's situation is better off compared to the conditions they faced previously in Pakistan, or what you would have faced. Despite inflation and societal decay that we witness there, from a material standpoint, you still enjoy a better quality of life than what you had in Pakistan. So always keep this in mind and be grateful to Allah the Almighty. And while expressing this gratitude to Allah, strive your utmost to let the love of God and His Prophet swell in your hearts, as this is the very reason for which the Jalsa Salana actually even takes place. As the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, this is just a plan or a scheme for spiritual growth. It is just an excuse to create an atmosphere that he has orchestrated, a means, a convenience so that people may progress in piety as quickly as possible. He explained that he has tried to foster an environment conducive to moral growth by Allah's grace. It's not just people who partake in this Jalsa who improve their caliber of spirituality and piousness. Rather, every person who has pledged allegiance to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and increases their standards of righteousness will have fulfilled the purpose of the bayat. And since you have joined the Jalsa, then surely you've joined with this intention, and this is why one should join, that I will bring my taqwa to a higher level than before. Hence, every Ahmadi should wholeheartedly endeavor to fulfill this aim. Promised Messiah says the purpose for which God Almighty has created this Jamaat or community is to re-establish the true recognition of God that has been lost upon the earth, and the true taqwa and piety which could not be found in the world should be restored. At another place he remarks, O ye who count yourselves as members of my community, you shall be deemed members of my community in the heavens only when you make truly sincere strides upon the path of piety. He then says, establish the grandeur and awe of God in your hearts. Give expression to His unity, not just by word, but by deed, so that God Almighty also demonstrates for you through His actions, His benevolence and tender affection. So always keep in view these statements of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. As I said, this is the true purpose of coming to Jalsa and being a true Ahmadi Muslim. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states. And he is explaining that this is the intention which every Ahmadi should hold participating in the Jalsa. And these are the things that we should inculcate in ourselves. Take advantage of the spiritual environment and atmosphere that God Almighty has provided for you, and try to rid yourselves of all forms of worldly impurities in these days, and do so with the intention that we will keep ourselves pure of the plague of materialism throughout our lives, giving precedence to our faith over all worldly matters, and by making use of all our God-given faculties. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has counted only those people in his community who cultivate true taqwa and piety, and whilst reforming their own conditions, they strive to increase the standards of righteousness. He has also expressed his desire that we try our best to earn the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Continuously keep your tongues engaged in the remembrance of Allah and spend your days and nights in worship. Don't let these worldly needs that are inescapably attached to being human and being a part of Elijah's society to be devoid of God's remembrance. Never let them compete and rival in priority with God. Let every one of your actions shine with your desire to please God. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, remember that God's perfect servants are those about whom God Almighty has said. They are men whose business and trade does not deter them from the remembrance of Allah the Almighty. When the heart forges a union of true and sincere love with God, then it never separates from Him. One aspect of this state can be understood as such. If someone's child falls sick, no matter where the parent goes or what they do, their heart and mind remains fixated on their child's condition. Similarly, those who establish a true connection and love with God Almighty never abandon Him under any circumstances. Thus, an Ahmadi Muslim should always keep this remembrance and thought of God Almighty in his mind. There should be a constant effort to become those whose every action is for His pleasure and remain ever engaged in it, His remembrance, and stay away from every action that He has forbidden us from doing. We should always remember and remain cognizant, and it should become firmly cemented in our minds that my every action and inaction is seen by Allah. He watches over us. And so I should not do anything that might occasion His displeasure. Thus, this is the condition that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wishes to see within us. And we need to strive in order to achieve this. Therefore, make a pledge today that we will try our utmost to fulfill the oath we have taken with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and that we will spread the mission of the promised Messiah in accordance with his teachings. That we will strive to bring back the faith from the Pleiades as opposed to diminishing our faith by becoming embroiled in materialism. We must pledge to act on the teachings of the Holy Quran so that we are counted amongst the Khayri Ummah, the best nation, so we can be counted amongst the nation for whom Allah the Almighty has bestowed goodness. And it is through our actions that we can set a virtuous example. We must pledge that this faith and these teachings will become forever etched on our hearts and a part of our every action, inshallah, God willing. And whilst keeping this command of God Almighty in view, we ought to remain engaged in zikr ilahi, the remembrance of God, as Allah the Almighty states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu zkurullaha zikran kathira. O ye who believe, remember Allah much. Therefore, Allah the Almighty has granted us an opportunity as a reminder to us and for us to focus our attention on the remembrance of Allah during these days, as well as focusing our attention on our worship so that we may increase in taqwa or righteousness. Just as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has stated, Allah the Almighty will then bestow His benevolence and favors. Thus, by progressing in righteousness, Allah the Almighty's benevolence and favors will become manifest. One aspect of this is fulfilling the rights of Allah, and we will only gain this through fulfilling the dues of our worship and through the remembrance of Allah. Expounding on this matter relating to Jalsa, Hazrat Muslim Aud says, the Jalsa Salana is among the signs of Allah the Almighty, and the reason mentioned by the promised Messiah for it to be deemed as such is because it is a means to increase spirituality, and the one key method to achieve this is worship and the remembrance of Allah, zikr ilahi. With regards to the remembrance of Allah, from among the great benefits of this highlighted by God Almighty is that, or it means that if you remember Allah, in turn Allah will remember you. Thus, fortunate is the one who is remembered by his master, the one who created him and is a true sovereign, and then blesses him with beneficence and bounties. Therefore, during these days, everyone should pay particular attention to this important matter, whether it is the men sitting in the Jalsagah, the women, or it is the men and women who are assigned various duties, whether they are Lajna, Nasrat, or Atfal. Everyone ought to bear this in mind. If we fail to give due importance to our worship and to zikr-e-ilahi, the remembrance of Allah, then neither will we establish a sincere bond with a representative sent by Allah the Almighty, nor can we become the recipients of Allah's pleasure. Just as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "You'll be counted as a members of my community in heaven when you truly tread upon the ways of taqwa or righteousness." This statement ought to make our hairs stand on end and tremble. We often read these words or hear them in programs of the Jamaat, and they are often repeated. However, we pass a fleeting glance over them. After repeating it, we overlook them, or perhaps we pay attention to them for a short time, and temporarily we focus our attention towards it. Thus, a sincere and true Ahmadi should always be mindful of this statement and ponder over it deeply. Each and every advice issued by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to his community, ought to shake us to the core. We may make countless verbal claims that we are Ahmadis, but if the Lord of the throne has not deemed us as such, then for us to make this claim is futile and attending the Jalsa will be in vain. Thus, pray fervently during these days. Forge a connection with Allah the Almighty. Focus your attention on zikr-e-ilahi, remembrance of Allah, and remove the darkness in your heart. In this regard, I wish to make an appeal here. Hadrat Khalifa Masih Salis III saw a vision or dream in which an elderly gentleman said to him, "If every member of this community recites the Durood 200 times, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin." So this should be recited 200 times. Those who are in the middle age, the ages of 15 to 25, should recite it 100 times a day. Children should recite it at least 33 times, and younger children should repeat it after their parents 3 or 4 times. Alongside this, one should recite istighfar 100 times. Similarly, I also add here that recite 100 times Rabbi kullu shay'in khadumuka, Rabbi fa'afazni wansurni warhamni. Especially during these days and generally going forward, because in this dream or vision, this was what Hadrat Khalifa Masih III was shown, that if you do this, you'll enter an impenetrable fortress which Satan can never penetrate. The walls of the fort are made of iron, which reach tall to the heavens. Thus, there will be remain no crack which Satan can enter through. In these times, when Satan is making every effort to attack us, using every scheme and technique, both as a community and on a global scale, there is only one means to protect ourselves, to place special emphasis on prayers, not just during the days of the Jalsa, but forever onwards. Reciting salutations upon the Holy Prophet, Durood Sharif, and the remembrance of God should be a permanent part of your lives and the rest of the prayers. Everyone, children, adults, women and men, should pay attention to this. Another important matter is that there will be many speeches aimed at increasing knowledge, training and spiritual improvement. Listen to those as well. While listening to those speeches, make a pledge before God and seek His help, saying, "O God, we have come here with the pure intentions, responding to the call of your Messiah for the reformation of our hearts. However, we cannot achieve this reformation through our own efforts alone. We need your help. If you do not hear our prayer of Iyaka Nasta'in, thee alone do we worship and thee alone do we implore for help, and help us, we cannot reach the standards of your worship. Therefore, we pray, O my God, O my beloved God, for your sake, save us from being ruined. Grant us an abundant share of the noble purpose for which we have gathered here. Bestow your grace upon us. For without your grace, we can achieve nothing. Purify our hearts so thoroughly that whatever we hear, we do not merely enjoy intellectually or literally, but instead, we elevate the standards of our morals and spirituality, which brings us closer to you, and make these qualities a part and parcel of our lives. We must act upon them and also ensure that these virtues continue in our future generations. So when we sincerely try to benefit from the programs of the Jalsa, to pray and strive to apply these teachings to our lives, only then will we be able to bring about a transformation in our lives. We will participate in the revolution for which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was sent. And as a result, we will bring about a revolution in the world. Otherwise, as I said, the world which is currently immersed in vain pursuits and immoralities and materialism is heading towards destruction. Satan is attacking from all directions, and the world cannot save itself. If we fall into this trap, there will be no one to save the world, and we too will then perish and drown with it. Therefore, it is a moment of great fear, and Ahmadi should always reflect and constantly focus on achieving the purpose of life, which is also the purpose of our bayat, the pledge of allegiance to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. We are pledged to strive with all our might to attain this goal. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has stated that one of the purposes of the Jalsa is for the participants to increase their mutual acquaintance, meaning to foster love, affection, and friendship amongst each other. If we fulfill this rite and achieve this purpose, only then can we truly become the members of the community that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, desired of us. Therefore, during these days, place great emphasis on strengthening relations, promoting love, spreading peace amongst one another, and improving the bonds that you may already have formed. You should do all these things emphatically. If there has been any grievance for any reason, try to remove such grudges. For the sake of seeking God's pleasure, not only avoid idle talk, but also strive to create an atmosphere of love and affection. Not only should you avoid quarrels and fights, rather you should seek apologies and offer forgiveness for any past disputes. Free yourselves from the snares of personal ego. I receive complaints that people get into serious altercations over the most trivial of matters, causing disrepute to the community. I have mentioned this several times before, including in the previous Jalsa Salana United Kingdom. Give due attention to this. Sometimes, in unavoidable circumstances, the community's administrative system has to impose punishments for such behavior to protect the dignity of the community, which then causes discomfort. But these punishments are not imposed with joy. Remember, we must uphold the sanctity of the community. If the administration or the Khalifa of the time imposes any punishment, it is done to preserve the sanctity of the community, because the community's sanctity is above all relationships. If you have a true connection with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then, while feeling remorse for your actions, strive to mend the rifts that have formed and create bonds of love, not only because of that love, but also because of a genuine desire to follow the teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He instructed that no Muslim should harm another Muslim with his tongue or hand. So during these days, when we have gathered to seek God's pleasure, bow before him and continue to pray. Engage in the remembrance of God with perfect faith. Follow the path that Allah has prescribed with complete obedience. If this is done, it is impossible to disobey the system of the community at any opportunity. On the one hand, if there is an effort to be written as a member of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's community in the heavens, while on the other hand, one may disregard the system established by the promised Messiah and his successors. This cannot happen. These are two contradictory actions. Those who sincerely bow before God cannot display such contradictions. Therefore, during these days, strive to cleanse the impurities from your hearts through prayers and self-reformation. Value the opportunity Allah has provided. If you have come to the Jalsa for the purpose of reformation and not as if attending a festival, as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said, that this is not a festival or carnival, then surely the impurities of the hearts will be cleansed. Sometimes, even in daily life and in the days following the Jalsa, a general Ahmadi may have conflicts or grievances with office bearers. In such cases, if they keep in mind the true purpose of the Jalsa, every Ahmadi will try to resolve their past conflicts. If any bitterness has arisen here, they will also try to remove it. Office bearers and those on duty during the Jalsa should also keep in mind that they must display the highest standards of morals and strive to remove personal egos and grudges for the sake of Allah the Almighty. We must fulfill the pledge we have to live as brothers. The highest standards of morals should be exhibited, especially by those on duty, because as office bearers, they have a greater responsibility. Therefore, they should display more patience, even if there is any wrongdoing, and never respond harshly. When you do this, your high morals will then set an example for other people and will become like a role model. If office bearers consider themselves as servants rather than as office bearers, and if every worker considers themselves as a servant, and the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat regard the office bearers as workers appointed by the Khalifa of the time to run the administration of the community, then these relationships will always remain as bonds of love and affection. They will give the true message of peace and security to the world under the guidance of the Khalifa of the time. They will bring about a revolution in the world. They will fulfill the mission of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. They will follow the paths on which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wanted us to tread. They will achieve the standards that the promised Messiah guided us to attain. The promised Messiah says at one place, "O fortunate people, enter this teaching with full force, which has been given to me for your salvation." That is, you have already taken the first step towards success and fortune by pledging allegiance to me, because you were fortunate. But now make this teaching a practical part of your lives, so that your virtues and good deeds are polished. He states, "Know that God is one and without partner. Do not associate anything with Him, not in the heavens nor in the earth." Then the promised Messiah says, "God does not forbid you from using resources and means. You may absolutely use worldly means. But the person who abandons God and relies solely on worldly means is an idolater. From time immemorial, God has been saying that salvation cannot be achieved without becoming pure-hearted. So become pure-hearted and abandon personal rancor and enmities. Man's self that incites to evil comprises many impurities, the greatest of which is arrogance. If there was no arrogance, then no one would remain a disbeliever. So become meek of heart. And seeing as you are preaching about offering paradise, you should generally show empathy towards humanity. In other words, we say that Islam is the real religion which grants salvation, and it is through it that one can attain nearness to Allah the Almighty. Thus, we preach paradise to people. The promised Messiah says, seeing as you are preaching about offering paradise, you should show empathy towards humanity. How can your preaching be considered true if you wish ill for others in this temporal world? Fulfill the duties owed to God Almighty with the heartfelt fear that you will be held accountable for them. Supplicate a great deal in your prayers, so that God may draw you unto Himself and purify your hearts, because man is weak. Any sin that is removed through the power of God Almighty. He states, until one does not receive the power from God Almighty, they do not have the ability to remove any evil. Islam is not simply for one to attest to the kalima as a formality. Rather, the essence of Islam is that the spirits fall upon the threshold of God Almighty, like God and His commandments take precedence over every aspect of the world. In other words, you should become one who gives precedence to the faith over the world. So these are the standards established by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, which we must strive to establish and attain within ourselves, and thereby eliminate personal rancor and enmities. This is an excellent opportunity to do so. You should strive towards this end during these days. Seeing as a spiritual atmosphere is fostered during these days, one is also drawn towards self-reflection, as should be the case. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, states, focus on avoiding arrogance, because arrogance breeds disobedience. It is arrogance that led people to reject the prophets. It is arrogance that incites against the system of the Jamaat, and that incites to stand up against the system of the Jamaat. It is arrogance that leads to quarrels amongst one another. It is arrogance which exhibits the false honor associated with one's pride. And strive hard to avoid arrogance. Then you are enjoined to show empathy for the creation of Allah the Almighty. Your words can only be influential, and your efforts in propagation will only be impactful when true empathy is established for the creation. Whenever people visit our jalsas, they become influenced and impressed upon seeing the atmosphere, because at that moment, they see Ahmadis in humility and in humbleness serving their guests and interacting with one another with love and affection. This is the silent tabligh which I always draw attention towards. This is the tabligh which strives to enable the truth of Ahmadiyyat to prevail in the hearts of people. People from different countries are also attending your jalsa, and as always, I trust that these people will take away a positive impact, given that you strive to establish a positive impact, and that whilst unifying your words and your action, and whilst acting according to the teachings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and Islam, you bow before God Almighty with humility and meekness, in order to become those who attain the objectives of the jalsa, the objective of attaining righteousness or taqwa, which then enables one to act with virtue. When this happens, then our calling unto Allah will also become blessed. These days, much is said against Islam and Muslims. But when people see the atmosphere here of love, affection, brotherhood, our high morals, and our connection with God Almighty, then the doubts and concerns in the mind of many that Muslims commit wrong actions or promote bad teachings will be dispelled. So during these days, through your words and actions, make the environment so peaceful. In fact, always apply this to your lives as a whole, which positively impacts the world, so that people attest that these are the people who act according to the true teachings of Islam, and the true teachings of Islam alone can bring about true peace and security in the world. Hence, you will be doing silent tabligh without the use of any literature or without any argumentation or providing as such. If we truly establish our lives to become an example of the true Islamic teachings, then we will become those who fulfill the pledge of allegiance, our bayt. Pledging allegiance to the promised Messiah or doing the bayt will only benefit us when we give precedence to the faith over the world and are not those who rely on empty slogans alone. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has advised his community with great pain and longing, and I'll present an example of this before you. He states, I pray, and I will continue to pray so long as I live until my last breath, that God Almighty purifies the hearts of my Jamaat and community and turns their hearts towards himself by extending his hand of mercy, that he rids their hearts of all mischief and malice and grants them true mutual love. I am certain that this prayer will be accepted at some point and that God will not let my prayers go to waste. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also cautions and gives warning when he says, indeed, I also pray that if, in the knowledge and design of God Almighty, someone from my Jamaat or community is perpetually misfortunate and is not destined to attain true piety and fear of God or taqwa, then, O God, the All-Powerful, cast him away from me as he has become cast away from you, and replace him with someone whose heart is tender and for whom searching for you is a part of life. This should serve as a huge wake-up call for us. If we wish to partake of the prayers made by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then we must bring about pious changes within ourselves. Otherwise, as the promised Messiah has said, then such people have nothing to do with me, because I only wish to associate with those who are virtuous and pious. Whereas this prayer gives us hope and draws our attention towards becoming those who act virtuously, it is also a frightening prospect that if we do not act with virtue, we would become distant from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. We should not be those who pledge allegiance merely in name. Those who pledge allegiance or do the bayat, and then instead of attaining the blessings of Allah the Almighty, they become those who incur His displeasure. May Allah the Almighty save us from this. I also wish to say that during the days of Jalsa, everyone on duty and all the attendees should keep an eye on their surroundings. With the conditions prevalent these days, a mischievous faction could try to take advantage. Therefore, remain vigilant when it comes to security. May Allah the Almighty safeguard everyone against every evil. May this Jalsa attract every blessing, and may everyone remain in the protection of Allah the Almighty. Pray a great deal for the state of the world. Pray a great deal for your country as well. When we sincerely act according to the commands of Allah the Almighty, when we attain His pleasure, when we act according to the true teachings of Islam, when we express true love and devotion for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and when we complete the revival of Islam and the spreading of Islam's teaching for which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was sent in servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then Allah the Almighty will certainly hear our prayers if these are our intentions, and we will become a source of guiding the world. May Allah the Almighty keep you in His protection during these 3 days and beyond. May He continue to shower His blessings and enable you to recite the prayers for which I made an appeal. Which was reciting Durood Sharif 200 times, Istighfar 100 times, as well as Rabbi Kullu Shay'in Khadumuka, Rabbi Fa'fazni Wansurni Warhamni. Give due attention towards this emphatically. Do not only recite this during these 3 days. Rather, this is a continuous appeal, and every Ahmadi should continuously recite these prayers. Mothers should also have the children repeat these prayers. May Allah the Almighty grant the ability to do so. The organizers of the Jalsa have also written to me that there are some exhibitions being held there. They have requested me to announce that people should visit these exhibitions, and so I draw attention towards this, that you should visit these exhibitions and benefit from them so that you may see how Allah the Almighty is bestowing His favors upon us. May Allah the Almighty grant the ability to do so. During these days, those in Germany who I can see are quite in large numbers, mashallah, should focus on offering prayers and the zikr-e-ilahi, remembrance of Allah. May Allah the Almighty make this blessing.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.